welcome to episode 106 of
Brutal Battle.
Yeah, it's Dan Kim once again.
Hey guys,
I think
and gals.
Yeah, and gals and other. There's other, I believe.
Well, there's girls and then there's gals and then there's the people between.
Yes, boys, men. People may be listening with their children, with their animals, who knows?
They're sentient beer-drinking animals?
Yeah, they're sentient beer-drinking animals. I show people aren't giving beer to their animals, but I did see a video of someone feeding a beer to a camel, which was kind of interesting. But oh, and they do feed beer to the Kobe
I have heard
cows.
That.
So yeah, I think I talked about it on the show before. But
Kobe cows.
And at any rate, Dan Kim is back again. We've had him here. This is the third time now in, I don't know, like 30 episodes or so, somewhere in there. Maybe
my
even less.
My first episode was, I want to say like 90, in the low 90s.
Okay, so it's been like, yeah, we've had you here a lot. And this instance, it's mainly because Dan's about to go out of commission as far as recording goes. He's going to have another kid.
That's right.
That'll be number
three. Kid is three. A human child, not a...
Not a baby goat.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it's important to make that distinction. Not a baby goat is, in fact, a human being. Although, I didn't know for sure until you just confirmed.
Right. Although, if my wife gives birth to a baby goat, that'll just be that much more amazing.
What is happening? Cool. Anyway, let's go ahead and do what we always do with this show to kick things off. Do hop knowledge.
I think you always have a look and hand gestures yeah. when you say that, even though no one is looking at you.
I know. I feel like everyone does that kind of stuff when they say or sing certain things, kind of, because there's a melody to it. But at the same time, I just, like, that's my rhythm. That's how I, like, get myself going for it. It's a thing, you know? Maybe right. I'll record it one day and put it on
YouTube.
It's
like muscle memory. You do your hand gesture, your eyes go dead inside, and you just say.
Yeah, pretty much. So the hop we're going to do today is called Pride of Ringwood.
Okay.
Never heard of it, but quite an interesting name. It's an Australian hop. It has high alpha acids, too. Other varieties such as Super Pride have taken over that recognition for the region as far as being high in alpha acids. It's bred from Pride of Kent, so all these Pride beers are hops. The open pollination by the Carlton and United Breweries in Melbourne, Australia. Pride of Ringwood at one time occupied more than 90% of the hop production in Australia. Mm-hmm. So apparently it was like a big deal in Australia. Probably still is because it's been used so much. It was also once grown in Kashmir, India, which is very interesting. And apparently it matures too late to be able to be grown in the United States. So here's an instance of one hop that just cannot be grown in the U.S., which I think is the very first time we've come across this on the show.
Well, both Australia and Kashmir, those seem to be very dry places.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. It's this is apparently a hop that's mainly used for bittering properties. The aroma of the Pride of Ringwood hops can be described as having a spicy kick with essence of citrus and fruit-like tones. Apparently the aroma is strong yet delectable and will be very noticeable in late additions to any wort. So, possible substitutions for this hop would be Galena and cluster hops, which both of those have been used in the United States, so
yeah,
you can get something close, I guess. Two examples of beers that have used this beer. One close to us, Duclaw Brewing Company, used it in their Kangaroo Love, which was a light lager. They stopped doing that like many years ago, but when they started out very early on, it was one of their staple beers as light lager, so quite interesting.
Huh.
And another example was Buffalo Bill's Brewery, their Tasmanian Devil.
I've only had one beer from Buffalo Bill's.
I haven't had none. What was that?
It was like a blueberry something. It was weird.
Okay. I'd pretty much try anything with blueberry, and I'm a blueberry fan.
Oh. Okay.
Especially if it tastes like fresh blueberries. Love fresh blueberries. Well, we're going to go ahead and kick this thing off right with a warm-up beer, because the last time Dan was on, for that stint of shows, he brought a Founders Dirty Bastard that was aged a year to share with me. So, I figure, return the favor, and I'm going to share with him a Founders beer in turn.
It's one of both of our favorite breweries.
Yeah.
That, you know, have wide respect in the community.
Yep. It is, this specific one is their Founders Black Rye. It's their dry hopped dark ale that's brewed with rye, which is why it's called Black Rye. Someone had told me I have not had this yet, and Dan, I don't think you've ever had this beer either.
No, I have not.
Someone had informed me that it tastes a lot like their Dark Penance, which people, if you haven't listened to the Founders Brewery Showcase episode of this show, go back and listen to that, because Dark Penance was one that we had actually showcased on the show. So listen to that, and we'll see if it's like it. I do remember what that beer kind of tasted like, because I remember really liking it, but it'll be interesting to see if what I was told is correct, that it tastes similar. Very dark, kind of like brownish with a little reddish tinge around the edges.
And yeah, and light brown head. It smells great. I mean, you pick up caramel and some...
I get a little ashiness, like an ashy note from like the darker roasty malt.
Yeah, maybe even, yeah, like ashy and tobacco. I would smell a little bit of tobacco in there.
It is 78 IBUs, and you definitely get that dry hopped note on the nose. Plenty of like citrusy hoppiness. Some grassiness to go with that. It's 7.5% alcohol.
And it's a dark ale, and sometimes beers in that mold can seem sweet, but it doesn't smell too sweet at all.
No. And you do get a little bit of kind of like that rye scent that's a little spicy. You know, rye and beer will be kind of like a spice characteristic. I tried it, and when someone told me that it tastes a lot like the Dark Penance, I don't think that's quite accurate. I think the Dark Penance is significantly thicker and has a lot more like chocolatey malts going on it. This doesn't really have so much chocolatey malts. It's roasty and kind of ashy with the malts.
I would say ash is, there's a lot of ashiness. It's almost like a cigar almost.
Yeah. And especially with the way it like finishes with that rye kind of spice note to it on the end, which almost makes it kind of tobacco-y.
Yeah. And it's a thin to medium mouthfeel, which I don't mind, cause I had a heavy dinner.
So. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, it is. It's maybe about what you would expect for a black ale.
Yeah.
But you know, when I think about the Dark Penance, you know, that was an imperial black ale or a black IPA, and it was, I believe, thicker than I originally thought it would be. It was pretty thick, but that one was great. In comparison, I don't think I like the Black Rye as much as the Dark Penance. Mm-hmm. I think I would, if I had to make a choice, I would be like, more Dark Penance, please. But they're both pretty good.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It almost feels smoked just because it's so ashy.
Yeah, it seems like it is a tad bit smoked because of the ashy aspect to it. But
yeah, it almost it reminds me a little bit of like the peat you get in like scotches.
Okay, yeah, I could see that definitely. Well, like it overall? Yes, no. Would you seek it out again? Is kind of like the big question.
I would say it's not my cup of tea. I recognize that it's definitely interesting, and I recognize that it's good. It's not personally my thing, but I wouldn't have a problem drinking it, but yeah. I wouldn't buy it again.
You wouldn't seek it out. Yeah, I hear you. I kind of feel the same way. I like it, and I will enjoy drinking the rest of this, but I don't think it's something I would seek out, because there are a lot of other beers that I would rather have. Even like in Founders' own lineup, like I can think of a lot of Founders beers I would rather have than this, like the Dark Penance, the Breakfast Stout, their Centennial IPA, the Dirty Bastard, their Old Curmudgeon, Backwoods Bastard, all sorts of.
If all we're doing is listing good Founders beers, we'll be here for a while.
Yeah, true. Actually, this segues perfectly. We were going to talk about something else, but let's leave that for another episode, because we have a lot more to say and we've already taken up an okay amount of time doing this, but it kind of segues to something that, Dan and I had been talking about, and we talked about it at work a little bit, which was, I feel like breweries are throwing out a lot of different beers, like maybe too much at this point, because it seems to me like, okay, a lot of breweries, when they just start up, they have to pick their battles as far as beers go. They want to make sure that they can pull people in, so they pick some of the, like, the main styles. You know, you should have, like, I don't know if it's so much the case now, but back when I really started in a craft beer, like with Duclaw, they were like, you know, you got to have, like, a light ale, you got to have, like, an amber, you got to have a red, which ambers and reds are pretty much interchangeable, but people don't really know that. And then you got to have, like, your pale ale, and then you can have, like, a stout, and then you can move on to like, something hoppy, like throwing some sort of IPA out there. And then you can start, you know, as you bring people in, you can start playing with some other stuff. Mm-hmm. But to me, especially as being a ticker, because I want to try, like, everything,
right?
I feel like I'm getting to a point where when I started on this path to be this ticker, I felt like it was attainable to try, like, almost everything at some point.
It used to be attainable.
Yes, and that's kind of where I'm going. We've had so many breweries pop up, and they're putting out so many different beers, all of them are, that I feel like I'm about to give up on this whole ticking thing, just because it's like, it's endless. There's no end in sight to it.
Well, you were listing off, the, you know, how breweries used to have a cache of standard styles, and it used to be when they went into a new market, they would put out their standards and then kind of slowly bring in their special stuff. And that model was reversed a little bit with Firestone Walker. Firestone Walker, in the last several years, when they went to a new market, they would put out their big 22-ounce format special stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then slowly come in with their standards. Now,
it's actually a good point. Sorry to interrupt you, but that's a good point, because I remember when Firestone Walker showed up in Maryland, and what did I see first? I saw their Reserve Porter, mm-hmm. their Wookiee Jack in 22-ounce bottles, their Double Jack in 22-ounce bottles, and that was it at first.
Yeah.
And then the Union Jack and other things came in.
Yeah, the Double Jack, and right. But another thing that I'm noticing is that breweries can't even put out their normal format styles anymore. A really common name for a beer used to be name of brewery, IPA.
Right.
Name of brewery, stout. People will just totally overlook those now. Like, they will just ignore the standard lineup beers of these breweries.
That's true.
And, you know, I would say the standard styles used to comprise a much larger percentage of sales, but now it's cut back just because everybody knows that they have to diversity of beer is how you make your money, because so many tickers will only try it one time.
Yeah. And that is kind of the thing, like, everybody's looking for the bigger, bolder stuff as far as the craft beer community goes, because it's evolved so much with its taste buds that it did used to be a situation, like you were saying, where they could go into a new market and they would bring in, like, a lager, a pilsner, you know, a red, a pale ale maybe, and then they could start introducing other stuff after that. Right now, it's you have to hit a new market with an IPA. You have to. And maybe a stout.
Right.
And as it's getting right now, like, probably an Imperial Stout, too, you should be throwing out there.
Right.
Well, so it's... And then not only that, but you are expected to start really pumping out different types of beers. Right. And one of the other things you were saying was, you know, they could just put their name on it, like, say, Duclaw, and it's like, Duclaw IPA. Well, here's the other thing. People want different versions of IPAs now.
Mm-hmm.
And it sells really well, so it's not just that people want it, it's just that they'll buy it.
I mean, I'm like you, I'm getting fatigued with it, and I'm also getting tired of getting burned on, I try these new beers, and, you know, maybe half the time it'll be a good one, and then half the time it'll be, like, okay to bad.
Yeah.
And the last time I was at the store, I told myself, all right, I'm going to allow myself to get one or two mixed sixes, but then I have to get at least one or two full six packs of a beer I am absolutely certain I will like.
Yeah. You know, because, you need that go-to.
Yeah, because I need something that I can trust, you know, where I enjoy drinking with food. That's the main way I drink, honestly. Like, as either dessert, as a dessert, or with food. And, you know, that which means with food, that means a lighter style of beer, and I want something that I can, like, enjoy and also ignore and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's much harder to do with you know, if you're constantly thinking about what haven't I tried now.
Yeah. Well, there have been certain breweries throughout my time that I've been like, I want to try everything they put out.
Right.
But then at this point I quit because I want to try a lot of stuff, and I can't, like, with these certain breweries, I can't have tried everything. I just can't. And so now I've been more like, I'm going to pick my battles, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, when I was a ticker, I would drink anything and everything until I got to beer number 1000. And then after that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to change my strategy. I'm going to go for what I just think is really good or hear is really good, because I feel like there's so much out there now that I can be choosy, kind of. But so I wanted to throw that out there, but I also wanted to throw out the other side of this whole situation, what might be good about the fact that these breweries put so much out. And that is, if they're doing this, then they're doing, like, short runs.
Yeah.
So it's expected that they're just going to do, like, small batches of stuff and just put it out, so they don't need to constantly brew it. But I feel like that makes it the perfect platform for them to try things out and see what sticks. Prime example, in my opinion, Sweet Baby Jesus, the chocolate peanut butter porter by Duclaw.
Mm-hmm.
They originally released it as just a very short, like a very short release, very small batch.
Mm-hmm.
People loved it, raved about it. So then they released it as like a seasonal to see how it would take. And then it was so wildly popular, it's year-round now. So because they've been afforded the ability to put out, like, tons of different types,
mm-hmm.
they hit the jackpot with one and realized, boom, this is a major cash cow. We can keep this going. Then let's see what we got over here. And on the flip side, they've realized that they stopped brewing Venom Pale Ale, which was one of my favorite pale ales, actually. Hmm. But I'm guessing it's because it just wasn't selling enough in comparison to their other stuff and needing to do more beers.
Well, you were talking about how tickers always want, you know, bigger, bolder flavors in their beer. And I think a downside to that is some of these lighter, more everyday styles are suffering because of
this. Yes,
it. Like people,
that's true.
You know, what share of the market are pilsners anymore?
Or not as much.
Or just standard lagers, or, you know, or pale ales. That share of the market has gone way down. Especially the lighter you go, the less of a market share.
Yeah, because right now it's all about, like, real hoppy IPAs and awesome imperial stouts, and now, like, spiced imperial stouts is a big thing, like Huda Poo and
Abraxas. Or big sours, or stuff
sours.
That, you know, barrel-aged this, and, you know, and you think about where beer started with, you know, in Germany with the, I'm gonna butcher it, but with the Gahunstabut or whatever it's called, or the
Reinsgebot,
yeah.
Reinsgebot,
Were they really, really regimented ingredients and quality beer? And those beers are still excellent.
That's true.
Are still excellent, but everyone knows what they taste like. They want to know what the next new thing is, you know. And it's
variety's crazy.
It's a little bit of a shame.
I will say this though, I do think that lighter styles are going to come back, maybe not as their pure selves,
mm-hmm.
But if you notice, there are breweries that have really taken a run at bringing some of the lighter styles back. Like, you know, I believe Sierra Nevada just released that hoppy lager in larger packs that they did for Beer Camp.
Oh, yeah.
So that's been selling pretty well. And, you know, like Otter Creek did their Citra Mantra, which was an India Pale Lager, which has done well. There have been a lot of hoppy wheat ales that have started coming out that have drawn some attention and have done pretty well.
And I guess, to your point, in the last few years. Look at the explosion at session IPAs.
Yep, exactly. I was going to go there, but you, perfect. You took it right there. Yeah, session IPAs, that's downgrading the IPA, and that's become a very popular style. So much so that a lot of breweries are feeling pressured to make one. You know, and one brewery near us, Heavy Seas, you know, they've typically stuck with their same stuff for quite a while. Mm-hmm. They put out some like special things here and there, but they haven't gone crazy like a lot of breweries, just putting out like, okay, a small batch of this, a small batch of that, and a small batch of that. But this year, they're going to be doing like somewhere between like 8 and 10 new styles of beer. And the newest one that they just put out, I think it's called Deep Six, is a session IPA.
Well, we were, you know, there's been an I was telling Carlin earlier today how the share of craft market as a total volume of beer has just been at this very steady slow increase over the last, you know, couple of decades, but what has exploded is the sheer number of breweries has yes. just absolutely yeah. exploded from. You know, maybe I'm going to make up numbers now, but like 12 years ago, it was maybe like 600 in the whole country, and now it's something like 4,000
yeah.
or something.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, you're not just getting a ton of different beers from a small number of breweries. You're getting that same kind of volume from a lot of breweries.
Right. And so what that encourages, though, is drinking locally,
mm-hmm.
you know, drinking locally, and also niche specialization by yeah. these, you know, so you've seen breweries who totally just specialize in sours or in IPAs or right. or in saisons or farmhouse beers, or, you know, and I think that's going to be where it's, a lot of these places are going to go, is towards really specialization, because you got to be able to distinguish your brand and stand out and be known for something.
But I will tell you, one brewery, well, not it's not really a brewery, one nomadic brewer, you know, Brian Strumke, Stillwater Artisanal Ales.
Yeah.
He's known for doing farmhouse ales, you know, just like all saisons. Well, he would do something different here and there. Like, he did a really amazing Imperial Porter with, I think it was with Westbrook. It was called Natas. So awesome. But he recently had released something saying that he's going to be doing hoppier beers in different styles because it's what's demanded, yeah. basically.
Yeah.
So even these people who are trying to specialize in one thing, and they do well, they do very well at it. If anyone out there has not had any Stillwater products, his farmhouse stuff,
mm-hmm.
outstanding. It's what I wasn't into farmhouse ales or saisons or anything like that for a while until I tried his stuff, and that brought me right back to that style, and I was like, wow, outstanding. This is what you can do with it.
Yeah, a good saison on the right day, there's nothing that beats it.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, sorry, I threw you for a loop by bringing this topic up, because we were going to talk about something else, which we'll get to in a later episode. We have something different for next episode. It'll be quite interesting. And then we have what we were originally going to talk about for the third episode. So anyway, but sorry about that. I threw you off.
Carlin, it's interesting every time.
Yes.
No matter what we talk about.
That's true. That's quite true. Well, you know what's very interesting? Mystery beers. Very interesting to me.
Yes.
So we have them sitting in front of us, and Rebecca had come down before we started recording, and she said, I think both of these are quite good. So that's not necessarily going to sway us either way, because we go with what we actually taste and what we feel. I'll just comment right off the bat, coloration A versus B. A is very clear. It's yep. very orange. It's like a deep orange.
Yeah.
And B is, I mean, it's filtered, but it's hard to see through. It kind of looks like a reddish cola
yeah.
coloration.
Yeah, maybe the color of birch beer.
Yeah, yeah. Which was actually a comparison that someone else had made recently.
Well, it's because it's brown like a cola with more reddish hues.
Yeah.
But beer A smells great.
Yeah, it smells. There's a lot of nice citrus in there,
mm-hmm.
but there's some nice pine as well.
Yeah.
Some honeysuckle.
Yeah, and it smells. I'm just gonna describe a texture as a smell, but it smells okay. a little thicker, like a viscous.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely smells like it's got a bit of a syrupiness to it, maybe.
Yeah.
Not like high ABV necessarily, but there's a sweetness in the nose that is kind of like that honey note.
And a little bit of resin in there also.
Yes. Yeah, it's a little resiny in the way it's smelling. But the, you know, it's interesting because I feel like the citrus notes and the pine notes are almost balanced.
I would agree 50-50. With that. I would agree with that.
Which is really interesting to me. I get a little bit of kind of like a caramelly finish on the nose,
and
too.
It has bitterness to balance, but it doesn't smell overpowering.
If it tastes like it smells, and I'm thinking it might, but a little more robust, I'll be pretty happy.
Well, we're going in now.
The flavor is not as intense as I was expecting, but I kind of get this slight tangerine flavor going on in there.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of,
The body's a lot lighter than I thought it would be. It's pretty light.
Yeah, and actually the flavor's lighter than I thought it would be.
It's pretty delicate. I get kind of that honeysuckle flavor that I was getting in the smell.
Yeah, that's pretty subtle, though.
I get that, like I was saying, I get a bit of a tangerine-y flavor to it. I get a, you know, the bitterness is reminding me of kind of like the rind of a tangerine to go with the fruit of it. I get some of that pine. But what's interesting is there's some lingering bitterness, but other than that, I feel like all the other flavors kind of fall off my tongue afterwards.
Yeah, the most intense part of the sip is definitely that front part. And then it washes pretty lightly. I mean, it doesn't wash in a dry way, but it finishes just... it just kind of fades away in a pleasing way.
I don't think this is high ABV. I think this... You know what? We were talking about session IPAs. I feel like this could be a session IPA, honestly. Because the flavor is IPA-esque, and so is the smell. But it's kind of light. It's very light in flavor and body.
Well, I notice a lot with session IPAs that a lot of the experience is the smell. Which is...
Yeah.
Is a funny thing.
Well, I mean... you know, taste and smell are pretty closely married, so I like it enough. I don't like really, really like it though. I think the fact that it is falling off my tongue so fast, I would like some lingering flavors to go with this beer, other than bitterness, because the bitterness is the only thing that's really lingering. So I'm sorry, for me it's like up front I like it, and then it just kind of devolves real fast.
Well, maybe it's because, one, you kind of said session IPA, so you kind of had me thinking in that mode, but it does kind of remind me of Founders All Day IPA, the session IPA. It has like a lawnmower.
It's been a long time since I've had that beer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what it was like. Have you had it recently?
It like, you know, like 8 months ago.
Okay. Okay, so significantly more recent than I. It's been years for me, most likely. I, you know, honestly, I kind of feel like if this is not a session IPA, I have no idea what it is or what it's supposed to be. Because it really just reads as a session IPA.
Well,
for
it
me.
Could just be just a normal IPA that is just not hitting you in the way you're used to.
It's got, I mean, the nose is very nice.
Because it doesn't strike. Yeah, and it doesn't strike me as, you know, hugely watery or, you know, as a lot of session IPAs do.
It's pretty watery in my opinion. I don't know. For a session IPA, it might not be as watery as some.
Right.
But it's also kind of watery. I don't know. And that's where what I was saying is coming into play, where it's kind of just like washing off my palate so quickly. I am a kind of person who likes to be able to...
Right.
Revel in the flavor after I've already taken that sip, you know? And for me, it's not doing that. And
right.
I mean, it's good flavors up front, and then but then that goes away so quickly, which the positive of that, I guess, is if you want to drink a bunch and not feel like you're getting a ton of flavor and need to slow down,
right.
This would do that for
you.
Yeah,
you could easily just kind of drink and enjoy and ignore this.
Yeah, basically. You
know? One thing I am enjoying about it is that we were talking about... the citrininess, the citrus, and the grass notes are those are playing nicely, and they're pretty well balanced.
Yeah. Yeah, and like there's that pine in there as well, and mm-hmm. I do feel like they're all pretty equal. So that was an accomplishment, I think, for me. And like I said, I am like enjoying it.
Yeah, and it has sweetness to balance, but not overpowering, and has bitterness to balance, but not mm-hmm. overpowering. I think it's not knock your socks off, but it's well crafted.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's not bad, but you know. On the show, we go by preference, you know, what do you like? Because,
right.
I mean, that's what the rating is. It's, you know, what do I like? What do I think about this beer personally? So, it's not going to get, like, the most amazing marks, but I'm going to be fair with it. I'm going to be pretty fair with this beer.
Well, I was re-listening to some of my last appearances here, and I've decided I've been both here and at home when I, like, rate beers that I do drink by myself. I'm being too hard on my beers. I need to be a little bit more generous.
I think people will notice that that's kind of been something with this podcast very early on, and then it did soften up a little bit, but we're still hard on beers because, you know, there are a lot of beers out there, and you really want to kind of ferret out what's really good as opposed to what's just okay.
Well, you've done over 100 episodes now, yeah. And your top beer score is still, what, a 6.5?
7.
Oh, sorry.
It's a 7. Sorry. It's a 7.
Sorry.
Which there was something that hit that 7 recently, so it happens every now and then.
Yeah, well, bully for that beer.
Yeah. All right, well, let's leave A behind, and well, I mean, I'm sure we'll go back and taste it again after we do B, but let's start smelling B and, you know, see mm-hmm. how this is presenting.
Again, it's like a slightly reddish cola color.
It's kind of peanutty. It's not like peanut buttery.
It's
it smells a little bit like a peanut butter cup to me. A little bit. Like chocolate and peanut butter and
yeah, there's a slight chocolatiness. I know the smell. What is the smell?
It smells like chocolate and peanut butter. But it's not like a porter or a stout or anything like that. It's because it's definitely not dark enough for that. There are some fruity, like citrusy hoppy notes in there too, though.
Yeah, a little bit of raisin or.
It's nutty. It's so peanutty, which excites me because I really like peanuts. I really like peanut butter and peanuts. I'm a fan. So this is an exciting smell.
You can smell hops in there.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely can. There's a grassiness to these hops, and there's a bit of a citrusiness. I'm trying to pick up the exact type of citrusy. Having a little bit of a hard time. Maybe more like a deeper citrusy, like some people have heard me say, like kind of like a dehydrated citrus,
mm-hmm.
like a dehydrated orange. So it's like a little more sugary.
Yeah.
With the acids.
Yeah. And when you talk about peanuts, I would say it's closer to actual peanuts than it is to peanut butter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think you're right on that. Yes. And when I keep sniffing it, I feel like I'm getting a little bit of like a fruit roll-up type quality in the nose. Not nearly as sweet, but that, like that kind of fruitiness.
Yeah. And there's also
maybe a little cherry-ish.
It's really interesting. Like a bread crust.
Okay.
There's a little bit of like a bread crust smell to it, too.
I could see that, which would probably be from the malts.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, I don't know. Okay. So, you know how there, when people make, it's like a, sometimes they'll do it for, like, the bottoms of cupcakes, or they'll do it for, like, pie crusts, but, like, peanut butter mixed with, like, breadcrumbs and, like, butter, and it's like that peanut crumble. It doesn't really taste like peanut butter. It tastes more like peanuts with that kind of crusty breadiness.
Well,
and some butter.
What you're describing sounds almost like a graham cracker crust, but yeah. If you added like nuts to it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it kind of seems like to me, the smell.
Well, I cheated and tasted it, and
that's okay. You are confused.
It doesn't taste like anything. It tastes like what it smells. I was smelling very intensely, and then I drank it, and then it just kind of went into my stomach without me realizing what happened.
You're like, wait a second, I just took a sip of it and I had no idea. That's interesting, because I don't think I'm getting any sort of, like, peanut butter in the flavor. I am getting, like, a creaminess, like you get from peanut butter and peanuts. Mm-hmm. Like, that proteiny creaminess. I do get that on the mouthfeel and left over after each sip. I do get that kind of fruit roll-up type flavor I was getting, like a little strawberry fruit roll-up, but very subdued, not like super sweet or super fruity, like mm-hmm. very subdued, just like a hint of it.
Yeah, I would also say that it's not overly malty, but it's definitely malt forward. Like the, and there are hops to balance, but the malt is, I would say, the main contributor to the flavor.
It's got like a spice type aspect to it too. Like there's kind of a pininess going on in there. There's kind of a, I feel like almost like a very faint like black peppercorn type aspect to it.
Now we're digging deep. I mean, this is a, these flavors are kind of subtle.
No, I mean they are, but here's the thing. Because when you drink it, initially, you're not getting, like, any one flavor that just jumps out at you.
Right.
It makes it so that you can keep sipping it, and it gives you the opportunity to pick things out. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I feel like with a lot of beers, if there are, like, one or two very prominent flavors, I have a hard time getting past those. Like, seeing or tasting past them. But when everything's kind of much more subdued and kind of on the same level, like with this beer, it gives you the opportunity to pick out all the different flavors.
I wonder if this is something like an American, like, hop-biased version of, like, a brown ale or something like that. Like a hoppy brown ale.
I don't know. I feel like it may end up having more body if that were the case.
Hmm.
Very confusing to me that it smelled so much like peanuts, but I couldn't taste any peanuts, but I still, like I said, I get that kind of creamy, proteiny,
you know,
mouthfeel out of it.
Thinking about your peanut note,
might be something else.
No, it's. I mean, I do recognize what you're saying, but instead of like roasted peanuts, maybe it'd be something like peanut oil.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Not that it's fatty or viscous like that, but just like the smell of something cooking in peanut oil. Because that does have a distinctive smell.
It's got a little bit of like a, I don't know, like that, you know, I was telling you, like that kind of like spicy aspect that I'm getting, like maybe it's kind of like a little peppercornish.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm getting some of that kind of like tingle in my mouth on the aftertaste.
Yeah. And I would say the more I'm drinking it, I'm noticing its bitterness as mm-hmm. it's like just kind of subtly building on my
yes,
tongue.
The bitterness is building.
And it's actually it makes it more enjoyable to me. And it has kind of like,
it's an interesting beer.
Right. And it has kind of not, it's definitely not a stone beer, but just kind of like that bitter profile that a lot of stone beers have.
Yeah, I could see where you're going there. Real interesting, go back to A now.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I did want to quick say, B is also, I feel like, one that just keeps begging you to take sip after sip after sip pretty
yeah,
quickly.
These are both pretty drinkable beers.
Yeah, these are very sessionable beers, both of them. It'll be interesting to see what the ABV is on them, because who knows if one's, like, much higher than we feel like it is, because neither of these taste all that astringent.
Well, A is, it packs a bigger flavor punch.
Yeah, after having B, because B, it's maltier. There are a lot, the flavors are much more, like, subdued
right.
and even keel. So when you go to A, you're getting, like, you get that punch of, like, that grassiness and the pininess and the citrus.
Yeah.
Just nails you.
A gentle punch.
It's like slap boxing, I guess.
I'll just pretend to know what that is.
But it's interesting because it's also giving me, in A, like, a little bit of that kind of spent malt grain flavor.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of, like, that kind of rough finish to it. Kind of like a little, to be honest, it's a little like lager-y. It makes it taste a little lager-y in the finish.
A?
Yeah. Only, not at first, but after having B, it makes A finish kind of like a lager, in my opinion.
I don't taste that, but I don't disbelieve you.
These are both interesting beers, though.
Yeah, and I would say the more I drink of both of them, the more I enjoy them.
Yeah, and like we said, pretty sessionable. You can keep going with these. It is going to make it hard to rate, though.
I know exactly what scores I'm giving.
Okay, if you know exactly, why don't you go ahead?
All right, so I'm going to give B a 3. Okay. Now, this is just a drinkable, good drinkable beer that I enjoy. And it's not knock your socks off, but there's not anything offensive about it. And I could easily just down this whole thing. I enjoy this beer. And while it's not, you know, knock my socks off, I do like it. And the more I drink it, the more I like it. So I'm going to give A a 4.
Really? It's got a very honey note on the nose now and in the flavor to me.
How about B, we call it? I'm God, sorry.
B is starting to give me like more heat. Like, really? I was like that peppery heat. I don't know. Kind of weird.
We were trying to nail down the style. Would it be weird if we called
nail down?
Would it we called a session imperial IPA?
Right. I don't know. Okay, honestly, I like them both for different reasons. It has that nice, like, pininess, grassiness, citrusiness that all kind of goes together, but it also kind of, you know, dissipates real fast, and it's got kind of that lager-y-ish finish, which I didn't see coming after a while, which is kind of weird. But I, like I said, I'd like some nice flavors to linger a little bit longer. But with B, there's a lot there for me that it is so subdued when you first taste it, and I'm just kind of like, but then you keep going and going and going, and you can pick more stuff out. But I'm also very perplexed by this kind of heat that keeps building in the aftertaste, and it keeps building and building for me. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm enjoying that. And I also don't know if I'm enjoying the fact that it's kind of confusing, and there's flavor, but there's not flavor. It's odd. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, we are working very hard to taste and pick out flavors on these beers. And, if you were reading or having dinner or watching TV, you know, I think the experience would be completely different.
Yes, I agree. You wouldn't be able to pick anything out, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you'd be preoccupied. You really have to concentrate.
And you'd drink the whole thing without realizing it.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest. I feel like I need to give them both the same rating.
Okay.
I'm going to give them both a 3, honestly, because they're solid enough, and I could go back to them in the right situation, but I don't think I can justify giving either of them more than a 3, and I don't think I can justify putting one over the other for my taste.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm okay with that.
No, that's fine. I'm just glad we had a winner, because last time, one time we had different preferences, and we ended up with a tie. That happened one time.
That's right. So A is the winner of this with an overall 3.5, and B had an overall 3, but obviously extremely close here. So let's go ahead and reveal B first. The loser with an overall 3 is... Very interesting. Okay, Smutty Nose Brewing Company's Dirty Mud Season Hoppy Brown Ale.
Hoppy brown ale, I win.
Yeah, you got it on the brown. You definitely nailed that. Smutty Nose is out of Hampton, New Hampshire. And what's the ABV on this thing? Is there even one on here? Oh, they do have the bottle date, or the best buy date on there, which I applaud for breweries doing. But I don't think I see... There's no ABV on it. I guess it doesn't really matter if it's a brown ale, honestly.
Smutty Nose is one of those breweries where, like, I respect and I know it's good, but for some reason, I just never end up buying their beers. Like I don't know. My eyes just always glaze over them, and I know they do quality work, and I just end up not buying them.
What is that spiciness in there then? If it's a brown ale, I don't understand.
Let me see the bottle.
Yeah, well, maybe it has some text. Yeah, go ahead and see if you can find anything. Cause I mean, it's a hoppy brown ale. Okay, so maybe it's just whatever. Hoppy hops, whatever citrusy, piney kind of hops they're putting in, maybe to have a spice aspect to
it. Or it could be, you know, just could be the building of the bitterness on your tongue.
That's possible.
You know, hops do three kinds of things, and one of those things is bittering.
Yep. Okay, well, let's go ahead and reveal the winner of the episode. Overall, 3.5 is Victory Brewing's Vine Harvest. It's Vine to Victory is what it is. Harvest Ale. It's a wet hopped ale, and it says wet hopped for freshness. Drink now, do not store.
I just had this. I had this like a month ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, then why didn't you pick up on that? This is 6.5% alcohol by volume. They also have an enjoy by date on here. Thank you very much. Let's see what it says about this. It's bursting with flavor. A lot of oils in there. Wet hops add notes of juicy fruit and a tea-like bite that play perfectly off the lightly toasted malt character.
Now, do you know what it means to be dry hopped versus wet hopped? Because I don't.
The dry hop is when it's run through. Is when it's run through the like some sort of cone or something afterwards. Like you brew up the beer with all the ingredients, and then when you're moving it, you make it go through a cone of dried hops. So it's like pulling out the oils and stuff as it's going. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. At least that's how it was explained to me. Trogs did it with their Hopback Amber, and they called it Hopback. Like, that's what they call it.
Oh, yeah, and all of the Minute series in Dogfish Head.
Yeah. And from what I understand, the whole wet hop concept is that it's like fresh hops.
Yeah.
Like hops that have not been dried at all. Like, they're like right off of the vine, which makes sense with this because it's Vine to Victory. So I'm guessing they, you know, had a farm harvest the hops, not dry them and send them directly, and then they got them into the beer as fast as possible.
I like the labeling on this one where it's like, do not store, drink immediately.
It's like cautions. It's like, if you're thinking about storing this beer, what the hell are you doing? Stop it right now.
In fact, drink us before any of your other beers, drink us now.
It could work, though. I mean, that's, you know. I mean, it's a solid beer. I could drink that again. I could also drink that Smutty Nose, the Dirty as well.
So what are our score totals?
3.5 and 3.
Oh, so
nice. I mean, close, but, you know, pretty good episode. We're going to wrap it up there. We'll be back. Stay tuned for the next episode because we're going to have a warm-up beer, and it's going to be an interesting warm-up beer. It's one I've actually been saving for a while for the right opportunity.
And by opportunity, he means me.
The right sucker, basically. the person to make try this beer with me. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Dan, for being present and giving us all your knowledge on beer and letting us use your palate and your nose.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Well, we'll catch you next time. Dan will still be here, so thanks a lot. And
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.